I don't know if it's par for the course, but these last final exhortations, I thought I would take all in one sitting and just briefly mention them as Paul has briefly mentioned them, but maybe it's par for my course that I shoot a little long on each hole, it seems like, and so it's expanded into three different sections. I am going to direct your attention to verses 8 and 9. This is the last of the final exhortations that Paul gives. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. The New King James Version gives this little paragraph the title, Meditate on These Things, and it's a very appropriate title because as Paul brings all of these exhortations to a close, he seems to wrap all of it up to describe and to encourage the Philippian church to stand fast in all of the things that he had been teaching them and giving to them by example. Whatever you've learned, received, heard, saw in me, do these things. So the exhortations that have gone before have especially revolved around the subject of standing fast. Standing fast against unbelief and false teaching, and standing fast in unity, being single-minded and being of the same mind with each other. Because of that, with this closing exhortation to meditate on these things, I was struck by the fact that the battle against false practice and false belief, the battle against division, is a battle that starts internally with each and every believer. Each individual has a spiritual battle against unbelief that tends towards the destruction of the unity of the body of Christ and tends towards the practice of unbelief or of false teachings that, for instance, are given here. And with Paul's instructions to meditate on these things, he is calling our attention back to the very beginning stages of where that battle of unbelief is first engaged, right in our own hearts, and for the real important step to take for us each to individually follow the spiritual disciplines that will confront this conflict right at its origin as it begins in our own heart. And one of the means of grace that God gives to help us is meditation on who He is and meditation on His Word. It's a subject that our home group Bible studies have taken up recently, and one that I've really appreciated. The college group and the home group Bible study has been studying a book by Donald Whitney named Spiritual Disciplines. It's a longer title and I can't remember the rest of it, but that's the beginning of it. And one of the chapters is on meditation. And I was just prompted to remember some of the bullet points that the author gives on the subject of meditation that I thought I would just summarize very briefly here and then look at it in the light of these verses here. He reminds us that meditation is one of God's tool to stand against temptation. Psalm 119 says, "How shall a young man cleanse his way? Let him with care thy word observe." Now there's the role of God's word that helps us to stand against temptation. God gives us the sword of the Spirit to use against the enemy. God gives us His Word to strengthen our faith and to give us guidance along our path. Paul describes or commands the church to meditate on these things. And I've described some of the benefits of meditation. Let me ask you to define meditation. What is meditation? I saw a worldly meditator over on my left somewhere. What is the non-Christian world define meditation as being?
Emptying your mind of everything.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the practice of thinking of nothing, of emptying yourself and emptying your mind and somehow finding peace in that. So what is Christian meditation?
Filling your mind with
something. Good, yeah. We're filling our mind with something. What do we fill our mind with?
Well,
that's right. We fill our mind with, ultimately, with God. We think of Him and we think of His Word. And it's a practice that is utterly opposed to that worldly idea of meditation. And so I don't want you to have the wrong idea when Paul says to meditate. In fact, in his exhortation, he says meditate on these things. So he is asking you to fill your mind with something. When we studied in our home groups about meditation, he gave some encouragements on how to do that. He said to take a verse of Scripture and to rewrite it in your own words. That helps you to understand it. You can take something that may be a concept that is you don't understand and put it in words that you do understand. He says to look for applications. What does that mean for my life? Ask questions that will help you to be specific in understanding what it's about. In other words, what should I believe about God from this passage, or about Christ or myself or salvation, whatever the subject is? Ask questions like, how should I praise or repent or trust? Again, whatever the subject is. How should my attitude be shaped? What should I do? Ask very specific questions. Memorize a passage so that in times where you are free that you can turn your mind deliberately towards these things. Those were some of the encouragements that we found in our Bible study as part of the practice of meditation on these things. So I'm going to ask you to do that with me with verse 8 especially. I'm going to ask you to rewrite some of these concepts in your own words. He says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true. So what words come to mind, or what circumstances in the Bible remind you of truth? Pardon me?
Whatever is light.
Whatever is light.
Mm-hmm. About
truth, and she'll know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Mm-hmm.
Christ being the personification of truth.
Very good. So we think on these things. That's we're doing that right now. We're thinking about how God's truth impacts our life, and as Liz mentioned the sermon this morning, the importance of God's truth being revealed to us is something that you can then apply to your own life. How about the next phrase? Whatever things are noble. What words might you use to replace the word for noble?
I think the word chivalry.
Okay.
In terms of being kind to others and taking up the cause of people who are in need and oppressed. Upright?
Yeah, there's an uprightness to nobility.
Maybe the opposite would be base. And want to think about things that are just worthless and unhelpful.
By the way, that's also a helpful tool in meditating on something, is to think of the opposite. And so instead of something base, we're thinking of something respectable, something that is worthy of honor, instead of something that is either common or worthless. And the next phrase is, whatever things are just.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. I thought of Edmund the Just, but there are other allusions that come to our minds, aren't there? But Edmund reminds us of someone who has strayed, but then has been brought back and has done what is good and right. Next phrase is, whatever things are pure. What does it mean to be pure? Jesse's buzzing in. No.
Have to ask it in a
formal way. Holy, that's a good word there, yeah. Without sin?
Without blame.
Without blame, yeah. Whatever things are lovely. It's probably not where your mind turned immediately. Louise, lovely to describe physical beauty. But what things are lovely spiritually?
There's a phrase in the Psalms that comes up occasionally, the beauty of Christ's holiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's in Psalm 84a, mm-hmm. How lovely, Lord, thy courts. Yeah. We're talking about not physical beauty in that case, but we're talking about spiritual beauties that are displayed to us. And the last one, of good report. Actually, I think Paul goes on to help us understand that one with the next phrase, if there is any virtue, if anything praiseworthy. Those are things of good report. Think on these things. As I said, we have practiced that, just meditating on this verse. Just in closing, I want you to see the important spiritual discipline that this is. As sin rises up in your heart, and as God convicts you of that, if you are crying out to the Lord for help in turning aside temptations towards envy or anger or evil desires, then God is encouraging you through Paul to meditate on these things. That's deliberately turn your mind away from those temptations and to think about what is true, noble, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. The result that Paul describes is that the God of peace will be with you. As you individually wrestle with and battle against unbelief, I pray that you would make use of the spiritual disciplines that are given to us, especially the discipline of meditation. We'll close there today and look forward to pressing on and closing out Philippians in the next couple weeks. Let's bow in prayer, please. Lord God, may your peace be with us. we do pray, God, that as we wrestle against temptation and as we do battle against the evil desires that plague us, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to do battle right in our own hearts where those desires are conceived and bear fruit and are worked out. I pray, God, that you would help us to put to death those evil desires, to put off what is old and to put on what is new. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.